Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome. I'd like to welcome you to TI Fluid Systems PLC's 2017 results presentation this morning. I welcome all of you in the room here as well as those of you participating on the audio cast. I'm Bill Kozera. I'm the President and CEO of TI Fluid Systems, and I'm pleased today to be joined by Tim Knutson, our Chief Financial Officer of TI. I'm also delighted today to present for the first time as a UK public company our great results for TI Fluid Systems. Before I start, I'd like to briefly draw your attention to the disclaimer slide on slide number one. And the presentation for today or agenda is I will start by first presenting a few key highlights for 2017. I'll turn it over to Tim, who will speak in more detail on the financial performance of our group, and then turn it over to you for any questions that you may have from today's presentation. Moving to slide three. In summary, 2017 has been a really great year for our group. We successfully completed our IPO in October of this past year with a premium listing on the London Stock Exchange, and most impressively, the inclusion of our company and our group on the FTSE 250 index this past December. The group continued with strong revenue and year-on-year performance of 5.4% or 330 bips above the global auto production build at constant currency, consistent with our projections. We have an encouraging industry outlook, and we see global auto volumes continuing to grow, support our projection that our revenue will continue to outperform global auto production. We also have quite a bit of confidence and have been focusing quite intently on our efforts towards hybrid electric vehicles and electric vehicles. We've spent a significant amount of time in this area. I'll speak more to that on slide five. But our strong customer relationships and our business diversity and footprint will parlay very nicely for us to capitalize on the trend towards EVs and HEVs. We continue to be a recognized Tier 1 auto supplier of highly engineered fluid systems with very clear advantages as identified by our customers with our business success. From a profitability and cash flow standpoint, we've performed quite strongly against expectations. As you can see, our adjusted EBIT margin has grown to 11% EBIT, or 20 bips improvement over prior year, and our adjusted free cash flow in 2017 was 119 million euro. We've also very successfully continued to manage our cost, our margins, our cash flow generation, as well as capitalize or focus on capital allocation being a key priority for the company. We have a proven track record of strong financial performance, and our confidence in our business model and the outlook continues to be very positive. This, as you know, has been consistent for the last several years under the strong management team. Moving to slide four, you can see that global vehicle production has increased in all markets except for North America. Our revenue overall has outperformed vehicle production, as I mentioned earlier, by 330 bips at constant currency. In Europe, our growth was somewhat a little bit short of the 4% auto production growth, but that was a result of timing on programs ramping up and ramping down, and that would be considered from our perspective an anomaly. In North America, of course, we had strong revenue growth, 10.9% above global auto production in North America, and we've had several strong program launches in this region. And in Asia Pacific, our growth at 6.7% over vehicle production also was quite strong and included not only the positive trends we see in China, but also very strong growth in our fluid fuel tank and delivery module business. Now moving to slide five. We continue to have increasing confidence in our strategy towards electric vehicles and hyper-electric vehicles. The level of enthusiasm and our interactions with our customers continue to remain quite strong. We have been awarded several lower volume electric vehicle and hybrid electric vehicle programs at premium North American, Chinese, and German OEMs. And I think this demonstrates our recognition of our product technology and our leadership for the products required for these vehicles. So these recent awards, in combination with the high level of quotations that we are now interfacing with or handling for our customers, continue to support what we believe will be an increased addressable market for these fluid handling products as we move forward, capitalizing on the trend towards electrification. So as you know, we're spending a significant amount of time with the OEMs at multiple levels, in particular the leading OEMs of the soon-to-upcoming larger volume electric vehicles, which are currently in play at this time. I can tell you that based on our interface with the OEMs, we are confirming that the nylon material that we offer as a lightweight solution is becoming more and more prominent, as well as the content per vehicle being at the level that we suggested these electric vehicles will have. So we remain very confident and can confirm what we have said before. Keep in mind that these programs are large programs. We are interfacing, as I mentioned, at every level, and we're very confident that in the balance of 2018 that we will, be able to update you on our expected successes in that area. We keep in mind also that, the thermal lines are typically amongst the last to be sourced by the OEMs, because our parts can be designed and how they are routed around the vehicle. The OEMs typically design the structure of the vehicle first, and then the lines and hoses and thermal products are then fit around the basic fundamentals of the vehicle. So these designs are now being solidified, and we would expect that the final sourcing for our type of products would occur sometime in the balance of 2018. Now, moving to slide 6, and before I hand it over to Tim, I'd like to remind you of the key investment highlights that make TI Fluid Systems unique. First of all, we have an experienced management team with a proven track record of strong growth and excellent financial performance. We have demonstrated our leading technologies and strong market positions with our number one leading position in fluid carrying systems, our number three market position in fuel tanks, and that along with our strong position in China and our diversification, we are confident that we will continue to demonstrate the above-market growth that we have consistently demonstrated. Thirdly, these fundamental business attributes are, in fact, driving now further growth, capitalizing on the trend towards electrification, specifically with new thermal management products that are new to the automobile, as well as the growth in pressurized fuel tanks, which are also required for hybrid electric vehicles. And then finally, we continue to deliver strong revenue growth, the superior margins, and strong free cash flow with our business model. With that, I continue to be confident in our business going forward, and I'd like to turn it over to Tim, who will speak more around our financial performance.
Thanks, Bill. Good morning, everybody. Moving to slide 10. Very happy to be here for the first time.
Slide eight.
Very happy to be here for the first time as a UK public company to review our strong 2017 financial performance versus the expectations at the time of the IPO, and also helps demonstrate our consistency with our business model. When we speak about revenue growth at IPO expectations in our business model, we expect revenue growth of approximately 3-4% on a constant currency basis above the global automotive production environment. In 2017, we delivered 3.3%, in line with our expectations. On an adjusted EBIT basis, we spoke in terms of in-line margins with 2016 performance. In 2017, we actually came in a little bit better than 2016 at 11% EBIT margins. From an investment standpoint on CapEx and capitalized intangibles, our business model to support the growth. We speak in terms of 4 to 5% of revenue in terms of spend. In 2017, we came in at 4.1%, or again, delivering through expectations. On cash interest, interest expense was reduced due to deleveraging and a reduction in our interest cost, came in at 88 million euros in line with expectations. And importantly on net leveraging, our net leverage ratio, we were expecting about a 2x net leverage ratio at the end of 2017. We actually came in at 1.8 times, so a very strong net leverage position on our balance sheet at the end of 17. At the time of the IPO, our expectations were targeting a dividend payout ratio of approximately 30%, coming in with a recommendation of 1.3 euro cents per share in line with expectations. That would be the recommended final dividend at our AGM in May. Moving to slide 9, just talking a bit about our revenue outperformance again. As Bill mentioned, you know, we had a 330 basis point outperformance in revenue on a constant currency basis of 5.4%. Reported revenue came in at 4.2%. We had some solid regional growth as those drivers in the various regions. In Asia Pacific, continues to be a very positive business environment for TI. New business wins and favorable growth in China. Our FTDS business continues to perform quite well in China. North America, constant currency basis came in, as Bill mentioned, at 6.6% growth. We've had a number of new program launches that have done quite well. And in Europe, you know, about 1.5% constant currency revenue growth. As we spoke about at the time of the IPO in the second half, we did have some program timing that was some programs coming off, new programs coming on, so that did impact our European revenue in 2017. And to note, first half versus second half growth, first half, 7.1%. Second half came in at 3.7%. We did have some program timing impacts, as I discussed, and also tooling timing that impacted the second half versus the first half. But those that was in line with what we had talked about and expected at the time of the IPO for the second half of 2017. Moving to slide 10, you know, on our adjusted EBIT and adjusted EBITDA margin expansion. Very solid adjusted EBIT, increase of 22 million euros year over year, or 5.9% growth. Our adjusted EBIT margin expanded by 20 basis points. So good, solid performance across the businesses. You know, similar movement in adjusted EBITDA. Our 2017 adjusted EBITDA growth of 26 million, or increase of 5.6%. And margin expansion, again, about 20 basis points to 14.1%. So from, you know, this strong margin standpoint, we continue to deliver, you know, top margins in our tier one automotive supply space. On a segment basis, our FCS business, that's about 59% of our revenue, saw a 5.8% growth, 6.9% on a constant currency basis to almost 2.1 billion in 2017. Solid constant currency growth year over year. Margin slightly less than 2016 at 13.2% with some ramp-up costs, but mostly offset by performance efficiencies. But again, in that FCS business, that 13.2% is a very solid margin for the automotive tier one space. FTDS revenue, 41% of our overall group revenues. That's 2.2% growth, or 3.3% on a constant currency basis, almost 1.4 billion in revenue. You know, we did see some ramp timing, primarily in Europe, impacting the revenue growth year over year for FTDS. China continuing to be quite strong for our FTDS business. From a margin standpoint, a very good performance in 2017. EBIT margin at 7.8%. That's a 70 bip increase of performance where we had some solid operational and leveraging of fixed costs in our FTDS business. Looking at the next slide, 12, our adjusted net income, adjusted basic EPS, and dividend per share. On the left-hand side of the chart, you can see our adjusted EBITDA to adjusted net income reconciliation. Adjusted EBITDA at 491 million in 2017. If you look at the elements, very consistent. We had a reduction in net finance expense, which we would expect. But if you look at income tax, D&A, non-controlling interest, very consistent in terms of the elements year over year, coming down to adjusted net income at 136 million euros versus 74 million in 2016, or almost an 84% increase. Tried to keep very consistent and simple the dividend proposal. So if you look at our dividend proposal, it's at, off of the 136 million, 30% of adjusted net income. That would be a 1.31 euro cents per share. That's prorated for the time we were public, 2/12 of a month. So overall, that's about 6.8 million euros in terms of an absolute payout on the 519.4 million shares at the end of 2017. From an EPS basis, adjusted basic EPS, strong performance correspondingly to our adjusted net income. We came in at 26.2 euro cents per share. So again, strong growth year over year in our adjusted net income. Slide 13, as we look at our adjusted free cash flow growth, it does demonstrate our business model strength and a focus of TI. Adjusted EBITDA, as you walk through, our 491.
We're on 12. Okay, one more, Tim.
As you walk down to 491 EBITDA, cash interest reduced year over year, cash taxes up a little bit year over year to 89 million, working capital and other very consistent, PP&E at 119, a bit up from year over year and from 16, intangibles very consistent, and then you see the adjustment for IPO cash costs coming into, adjusted free cash flow level of 119 million, so a 44% increase from 2016. So if you look at the exception of cash interest, which declined a bit year over year, the elements of cash flow for our business are very consistent. Page 14, looking at our capital structure, it's significantly strengthened from our 2016 year-end position. 2016, we had about 1.7 billion euros of debt. That's decreased to about 1.2 billion euros of debt. Our cash position has increased from 200 million in 16 to almost 317, correspondingly to a very strong 1.8 times net leverage, which is, about 0.2 turns less than what we were expecting at the time of the IPO for the end of 17. We've been able to delever from one, earnings growth, two, the IPO proceeds, paying down debt, third, strong cash generation. Then we did benefit from the exchange level with the decrease in exchange from the dollar euro basis. So overall, 1.8 time net leverage at the end of 17. Moving to slide 15 on our outlook. Again, very consistent in our business model. And from our expectation standpoint, as in years past, similar to as we look forward to 18 and beyond, from a sales growth standpoint, in the past, we've averaged between 3-4% growth above the vehicle market. That would be the same type of expectation as we look to 18 and beyond. Adjusted EBIT margin, very consistent. We should see some growth in our FTDS business on margin, FCS maybe slight decrease, but overall, we'd expect very consistent margins with 2017. On an adjusted free cash flow basis, came in strong at those 119 million. We'd expect consistent adjusted free cash flow for 2018 and beyond. Now, if you think about cash interest expense should be going down, cash taxes we'd expect to go up a bit, and the other elements to be fairly consistent on the cash flow line. So fairly similar level of adjusted free cash flow as we think about 2018. And then net leverage, we continue to delever. Continue to expect to delever that 0.2 to 0.3 times per year. So we expect that trend to continue in 2018. And a consistent dividend payout ratio is expected of 30% of adjusted net income. The one item I would note is that, the average exchange rate dollar euro was about 1.13 in 2017. If we think about that exchange ratio being about 1.2 this year, thus far, if that were to continue for the balance of 18, that would have about a 2% negative translation impact of our on our revenue, dollar-related translation, and correspondingly some translation impact to that magnitude on that 2% magnitude on profit. So, you know, we'll see where the exchange rates end up, but just wanted to note to the audience that, you know, we do see that 1.2 type of exchange level to be about a 2% negative impact on a reported basis of revenue growth. So with that, thank you very much. We are now going to open the floor to questions. We have some microphones floating around. We'd be grateful if you could wait until you get your microphone so that those joining on the conference line are able to hear your questions. And with that, questions from the group.
Maybe you could start by introducing yourself and sharing with us who you're with.
Sure.
Thank
Hi,
you.
This is Raghav Gupta from Citigroup. I guess a couple of questions. When I look at 2018 margin guidance, you think that you expect to be at or around the level of 2017 to be flat. At your IPO, I appreciate margins have increased in 2017, but at the IPO, the midterm guidance was for margin expansion. And so just wondering in the context of that, why 2018 is different, what the headwinds are, and how we should think about it beyond 2018.
Just to be clear, so appreciate this, Tim Knutson. You know, margin guidance at the IPO were definitely, you know, consistent margins is where we're at, especially in the near term. I think when we talked about potential margin expansion, this is going to be in the outward years where we would see some movement in, you know, our thermal business, you know, success with EV and being able to take nylon and some of our capabilities into the market, so you'd see some medium-term margin expansion, but very consistent at 17, 18, even at 19, consistent margins. At the time last year of the IPO, we talked about, you know, consistent margins in FCS, consistent margins in FTDS. I think as you see our results in 17, you know, slight decrease in FCS margins, a slight increase in FTDS margins. That's probably the trend we see for 17 to 18. So again, consistent margins, and I think that's what we talked about at the IPO in terms of expectations in the nearest term, you know, in the next couple of years.
And the question just
mm-hmm.
a bit further on that, on FTDS, as you mentioned, margins mm-hmm. came down slightly. When we look at the development first half and second half, they were flat in the first half, FTDS margins year over year,
mm-hmm.
but they fell 70 basis points in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be annualizing that in the first half of this year, and so and I'd just like to understand a little bit more about
sure.
what the drivers are. You talk about project ramps,
sure.
what the drivers are of that margin contraction.
There's a couple items that are happening in FCS. One would be some of the margin ramps, which we expect to moderate as we think about 2018 for FCS. The other piece where you do see is this is where our thermal business is at, so we do see some additional investments as we're supporting all these opportunities in EV and with some of these, you know, large model programs. So I wouldn't expect that 70 basis point trend to continue for the year, but that slight degradation of models in FCS is probably the right way to look at it. And then when you look at FTDS, that's a really solid performance. So that 70 bit for the year is probably a bit high for that type of expansion in FTDS in 2018. So the way we're thinking about it would be, you know, slight margin degradation in FCS, slight increase in FTDS for flat margins overall.
If I could just follow up,
mm-hmm.
really interested to you mentioning you've been awarded low volume. Is that within FTDS on EVs and HEVs, or is it largely an FTDS?
No, it's primarily FCS, but it also includes pressurized tanks for our FTDS division as well. So, you know, with hybrid electric vehicles, which is the pathway to electric vehicles, our low-pressure and high-pressure plastic pressurized tanks, which also have the internal features to reduce the slosh, continue to be very popular and in demand, and so we're in the process of launching many programs there. But when we refer to the small programs on EVs, really referring to the benefits for the FCS division around the thermal management products, which are also increasing and new for electric vehicles.
Just one follow-up.
So sure.
On that, you mentioned the investment that you're putting into these lines. How much of that is research and therefore being expensed? How much of that is development because you have orders?
Yeah, it's really both.
So I'd say this today where we sit, most of this is it through expense line because we're talking about existing capabilities we have, existing engineering that we're working on in these designs. There may be a piece that ends up being capitalized as we progress towards 18, progress in 18, but for the most part, if you look at the 17 results, and at least most of 18, we'd expect most of that through the expense line. But again, most of it's resources that we currently have. We're adding a bit of resources, but we're using a lot of the traditional resources in our fuel carrying system business in our thermal capabilities because it really is the same type of experience, type of knowledge-based manufacturing operation. So a very consistent approach.
Other questions from the room? Jose? Then we'll come, David, to you.
Two items. One is, can you talk a little bit about the main businesses? Well, even if it's like from, we're running a program and you've got to go through from the partner. The second about the personal market, I was always pulled some bears in this state around that. And the thin market on China, sorry, I'm quite wrong.
Yeah, so it's a three-part question. The first deals with the recent wins on EV, second, the North American market, and then third, dealing with China and our FCS business there. So I'll start, and Tim, certainly you can add on. In terms of electric vehicles, as we mentioned, the awards that we have received are for what I would consider to be lower volume platforms in the last months. The large, high-volume platforms that are in the process of being awarded now are not yet awarded. As we mentioned, those are typically for our type of products amongst the last to be designed and awarded. However, we are very confident that our strategy in bringing additional thermal products in lightweight materials such as nylon for those high volume programs is going to be a real win and asset for our business. With respect to North America, the business and market continues to be quite strong at this, 17 million light vehicle rate. It's a result of basically the economic factors are in place in the North American market with low interest rates, available credit, a high level of consumer confidence, low unemployment, low fuel prices, all stimulating the North American auto industry. And if you add to that now some of the recent tax changes that will be stimulating for consumers, we expect the North American market to continue to be strong for quite some time. And thirdly, with respect to China, our business there continues to do quite well, as you can see from our 2017 performance. We have seen some very nice trends in the FTDS division with growth, as Tim mentioned, with respect to the continued move towards plastic fuel tanks from steel, which is one of the parts of the world that would be amongst the last to convert from steel to plastic. But also there, our business and technologies continue to be leading and recognized by both the domestic Chinese and the foreign producers there as being well-positioned with our extensive footprint there and our wholly owned facilities there, which are quite expansive with 18 wholly owned facilities in China supporting our business there. Keep in mind, we've been in China for decades now, and our business continues to be quite successful in China.
I would just add, Jose, that, we have a 35% market share overall in FCS, and therefore, our growth in China tends to move pretty consistently year over year with the volume environment, just given our strong positions overall with various customers. So the growth that we've seen, above market in China has been primarily FTDS, as Bill went through.
And charges. Charges for UK utility. Have you got anything in mind?
I mean, restructuring for our business continues to be quite slight. We'd expect, you know, some restructuring, but, you know, from a year-over-year standpoint, these are the type of levels we see for this business, given, you know, we do believe we have an optimized footprint. We're very well positioned around the globe, so there might be one or the other type of plant we look at per year, but it's pretty small for us in terms of restructuring.
Press release.
I'm sorry. I thought you were again.
Release.
I
saw the press release.
The 20. Yeah. So I think the easiest way to think about, you know, the exceptional piece of our business is on the overall. We have about related to IPO costs about $65 million of expenses, of which $45 million went through the expense line. Approximately $20 million was capitalized. When you think about the flowing through the adjustments, there's a page, there's adjustment or reconciliation. If you look at the reconciliation of profit for the year, statutory profit to adjusted net income, out of the expense items, you got about $40 million that went through administration expense, $27 million related to the IPO cost, $11 million of it was related to previous historical incentive plans, and then the finance cost piece that went through exceptionals, $26 million. We had on the bond call premium consents fees, that was about $17.7 million in terms of repaying that bond. And then we had some unamortized issuance fees on the balance sheet that were taken off, which is about $8.4 million. So, you know, from the exceptional standpoint, those are the two primary ones related to the IPO. To note, we also had a benefit for the U.S. tax reform change, a gain of $25 million that we've adjusted through the profit line. So, was the other primary impact to exceptionalize. But other than the IPO and the income tax adjustment, you know, very, you know, consistent, very simple type of exceptional items, the rest of our business model, as mentioned, with small restructuring, are pretty small.
David.
Okay, two questions. Firstly, do you have a feel for your sort of outperformance? How much of that is market share gains and how much is this increased content per vehicle? And then can you also talk about, particularly in Europe as a driver, recyclability, where do you fit within that? You know, your tank towards you might recycle. And a couple of financials, can you just give us a feel for what the tax rate might be going forward? And also, when can you redeem the remaining unsecured bonds?
I'll start first. We'll go backwards if that's okay, Tom. David, I'm sorry. So from an adjusted effective tax rate, at the time of the IPO, this was before the U.S. tax reform, we were sort of 30% plus that we were talking about expectation-wise. You know, this year we came in at 29%. You know, that 28 to 30% adjusted tax rate is probably the right number for us as we think about, you know, 2018 and beyond with the change in the U.S. from 34% to 21%. Sorry, the second question was related to on the unsecured bonds. You know, we have the make-whole provision becomes cost-effective in mid-July for us. We will have an opportunity to refinance that either then or depending on the pricing of those bonds a bit before then. We'd think about, you know, taking that unsecured bond out, most likely increasing our term loans at a, you know, fairly cost-effective rate. So we should see some additional finance savings, you know, when that's accomplished as well, some point this, you know, mid-year to fall.
Any other two questions? You know, the move towards plastic tanks is really a move driven by our customers, the benefits that the tanks offer, and so that's something that, you know, we leave to them and are following them and their lead, right? So the this is a move that started around 1985, and it's a trend that continues to optimize the use of materials in automobiles. With respect to our outperformance, you know, we continue to have the benefit of a variety of factors giving us that outperformance. It's one, increases in content that's supporting the megatrends. Two, the use of global platforms where we have a very high ratio of global platforms in our revenue mix. And then three, ever so slight changes, but really minimal in terms of market share, with our products being very strongly positioned. Of course, our fluid carrying systems division being the number one market share leader now at a very high level.
Other questions? Yes, sir.
Harry, to this, a couple of questions. In terms of the issues in Europe, in terms of the underperformance, those issues gone away and now running at market rates, if you like, in the region. And secondly, in terms of leverage, what is the right leverage for this business? And in terms of M&A, are there opportunities, or is it just more about growing content for the vehicle?
I'll start with the first question, then I'll turn it over to my colleague, Tim, for the second question. So, yeah, you know, with our revenue outperformance, we have consistently had outperformance over the past years. However, if you get a year where you've got a high level of program launches with programs coming off and delay sometimes with new programs coming on, you'll see a little lumpiness. And so 2017 would be an anomaly for Europe where we, in fact, had, you know, less growth than the global auto production. We do not expect that trend to continue going forward. On the leverage level, Tim?
Yeah, I would add just on regional performance, although revenue is softer, I mean, our general margin profile across the world is very strong, so we don't see a impact in terms of performance, although revenue is a bit light, as Bill mentioned, in terms of some timing of the programs. On leverage, I think consistent with the way we spoke about capital priorities at the IPO time, we continue to expect to prioritize our organic growth. We have a lot of opportunities in this thermal arena, pressurized tank arena, supporting HEV, EV. That is our number one priority. It's, you know, it's something that we spend a lot of time with and our resources do. So that's number one in terms of capital priorities. Then we think about, you know, with the earnings growth, our cash generation, deleveraging. Now, at the time of the IPO, we talked about, you know, positioning ourselves with some of the top, you know, valued European supplier peer group. With our margin profile, with our cash flow, you know, 1.8 times net leverage is a bit higher than most of the European peers. We see that priority going down over time. You know, so that's really where we're trying to position ourselves, is, you know, demonstrating our success on EV, which we all know is very important. We're very confident we're going to do such, but ensuring that, you know, we're getting to the right leverage level that supports our margins, supports our cash flows, that puts our valuation more in line with where we think true value is. On an M&A front, it's not a priority at the time. We think we have many organic opportunities in front of us. You know, that's not to say in the times ahead, you know, that we won't look at a small acquisition that supports our thermal or our HEV strategy and EV strategy, but that is not something that's on a near-term priority for us. Again, our near-term priority is supporting our deleveraging, our organic growth, and supporting, you know, this progressive dividend level that we started the company with.
Yes, sir.
Philip Kay from Deutsche Bank. If I could just follow on from one of the previous questions. Just going back to Europe, do you expect to grow above the market again? First question, and then question. All right. Then a little bit about R&D. You need to be a little bit more explicit.
Sure. I'll start with the Europe performance. So generally, you know, we expect, you know, this business model or this 3-4% outperformance globally. If you look at the trends of our business, you know, where Europe was a little bit softer in the second half in terms of that outperformance, still outperformed, but not at the level of 3-4%, where North America came in quite strong, Asia Pacific quite strong. I think that trend probably continues into 18, so a bit more when we think about 3-4%. Think about that outperformance probably a bit more towards North America and Asia Pacific, a bit less in Europe as we see that trend of ramp up. As we project, you know, beyond that, we'll see where mix goes, but that tends to be, as Bill mentioned, you know, you'll have a region or two that do well, ramp timing differential, and that usually flips around. On an R&D standpoint, We talked about at the IPO timeframe, we spend roughly 2-2.5% of R&D to support our products. About 1% of that's capitalized, just to give you a framework. We don't see that changing for where we're at. The organic opportunities that we have, especially on HEVs and EVs and EVs and thermal, are, know-how and knowledge that we have. We don't need to develop new products. We need to expand our product capabilities, and our know-how, our manufacturing operations are in place, our engineering's in place. So we expect that rate to continue at that same type of level and really should support, our strong addressable market increases for EV as we progress to that transition.
And then finance cost was the third.
Finance cost, you think about finance cost for the business, we would expect, that $88 million was only a partial stub period in terms of deleveraging and reduced interest expense. So as you look at 2018, you expect to see some, $20 million-plus type of savings off of that number. To note, we do expect to see higher cash taxes, a bit higher absolute levels of PP&E. So overall, we expect that free cash flow level to be, for 2018, in line with 2017's overall adjusted free cash flow level.
Other questions? Okay. If not, in summary, we're very pleased with our 2017 results that we shared with you. As you know, our business is a very steady and stable business, and it has been for quite some time. We remain very confident in our strategy and our growth in products for electric vehicles, and also we remain very confident in the future of our group. Thank you very much for your time today, and have a nice day.